We're going to welcome to the stage now a fiction writer and journalist by the name of Betsy Boyd. Betsy is based here in Baltimore. She says the darkest of her short stories are inspired by high school memories. Please welcome from Douglas MacArthur High School, class of 91, Betsy Boyd. Sharp dressed, I might add.
This is my pep squad uniform and it's killing me. I'm going to take you to 1988 in Port Aransas, Texas. Imagine an auditorium. Fog machines are spewing dry ice. I am surrounded by sobbing 15-year-old girls. I myself am a 15-year-old girl, but I'm not sobbing. I'm making eye contact with a man who looks a lot like John Bon Jovi, with a beard. I need to cut back a couple months to explain that I attend a huge public high school in San Antonio, Texas, Douglas MacArthur. Go Mac. A 2,000-plus person high school where the successful girls are near pro-level cheerleaders with meatloaf-sized quadriceps, large boobs, everything else tiny. And the boys are incredibly confident, like politicians at age 14, 15, 16. On the football fields, they wear murderous expressions. But when you see them in the hall, they're so friendly, you don't know who you can trust. So I'm trying to find my place in the social structure of the school, as all adolescents must do. And I'm looking through the lens of my older sister's high school experience. She, too, attended MacArthur in the 70s. We have a bit of an age gap. She was everything you're supposed to be. She was on homecoming court. She got best dressed. When she auditioned for cheerleader, she severely injured her coccyx. To this day, when she lifts her small children, sometimes she winces in coccyx pain. But there is a silent understanding that it was worth it because she made cheerleader people. And she determined her fate. So I'm trying to figure out my place. I'm wondering what's possible for me. I have a few things going against me and two things going for me. Going against me is the fact that I joined Pep Squad and I wore this uniform, which I'm not sure what the sleeves were for, but they seem like luggage compartments today. Joined Pep Squad, but I found it so depressing because you just sit there and clap. You don't even get to stand up, although you have to wear bloomers, which I don't have the heart to show you. I dropped out and I started running track. I had frizzy hair. Those things were going against me. Two things going for me. I had a great friend, Kelly Walton. She was on dance team, which is very acceptable in Texas. But she was smart and Catholic and poor, not good. Another thing going for me, I had a great wardrobe because my brother and sister were already out of the house. My parents spent a lot of money on my clothing, so I had huge floral Laura Ashley dresses that could house a family of five. And I had Guess jeans in every color, acid wash black, light blue, dark blue with ankle zippers. I had t-shirts that were splatter painted by machine at the mall. One shoulder, and I would loan my clothes out to girls, popular girls. So those things were going for me, but I was still searching for my place, and Kelly and I were kind of a team. It seemed as though the popular kids knew something. They seemed to have a kind of peace that we didn't possess. Kelly suggested that we begin attending Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday afternoons in the summer after freshman year. Trinity Baptist Church was sort of the precursor to the mega church. It was televised in San Antonio. All the popular kids from every public school in our city went to this youth group. And we wore high heels, we mingled, we met boys, and we bonded with two cheerleaders from our high school, Allison and Paige. They thought Kelly was a doll, and they loved my clothing. And I was so happy to let them borrow anything. Allison and Paige invited us to attend Baptist Coast Camp, which was a five-day retreat where you go to Port Aransas, Texas, you learn about Christ, and drink at night. Kelly couldn't afford to go, but I took a leap of faith and I went on the mission. I stayed in a beautiful resort hotel with Allison and Paige, who I believe were cousins. It's kind of fuzzy. But through no malice of their own, they completely forgot I was there. You know, they were really close. They didn't really know me. They borrowed my clothing, which is why I came. But they forgot to tell me when it was mealtime. We didn't go to prayer meetings together. So I was kind of depressed that week. The highlight was really having insomnia and sitting up in the common room with our dorm mother, Dixie, who was about 60 and balding. She wore these low-cut negligees and read her romance novels while I read Jane Eyre on the sofa all night. Throughout the week, we went to these prayer meetings, and the gist of every meeting was that you should rededicate yourself to Christ, give over your will to Christ. And I tried to go with it. It seemed like something, if I could do that, maybe I could really be popular. But there was something that reminded me of like an alien movie where the alien goes through your brain and invades your soul and you have no identity, or like getting back into a relationship that wasn't working where you have zero status. Either way, it didn't appeal. So I get through the week, I'm a little down, I'm tired from insomnia, but the last night of the camp, there is to be this party, and I'm thinking, God, this is special. This is going to be something I can really enjoy. So I wore my special billabong skort. Yeah. It was mattress plaid, and I get into the huge auditorium, and I see a boy that I know. He's a family friend, Brian Clardy. He's fat and pimply and loves to give me massages that I sort of like and don't like. And now he's a doctor, which is how life works. But he invites me to sit beside him, and I do. And, you know, I'm just trying to be a good sport about it all, waiting for the festivities to start. There are kids everywhere. People are really excited, hundreds of kids. And I see, through my peripheral vision, Allison and Paige walk by. They've got my Laura Ashley sundresses on, and they look like a circus caravan going past. And Allison sees me, and she says, gosh, I love your billabong skort. She's noticed it in my closet, and she invites me to come sit on the front row of the event with them. So I ditch Brian. I don't even say goodbye. I go up there. I don't hear Allison when she says that this is the row for people who are rededicating their lives to Christ by microphone. So I'm sitting on the front row. It's Allison, me, and Paige, first ones to give our testimony. The lights go down. The dry ice or fog is everywhere. And a man emerges on stage, the Bon Jovi character. He's very handsome. He's wearing a white robe. Allison starts screaming, and she begins crying. She looks kind of purple, not as pretty as she typically does. And Christ comes over to her. And he says, do you want to give up your life for me? And she takes the microphone. She's having trouble talking, but she kind of says, I give you my will. I give you my life. And in that moment, I'm thinking, golly, this girl has everything anybody could want. She's, you know, she's popular. She's already had sex with like two people. And what does she need a will for? But I don't want to give up my will. And I roll my eyes and I smirk, and Christ sees me. Because I'm the next in line. As I smirk, though, do you know what Christ does? He winks at me. So it's in that moment that I tell myself, you know, I don't need Coast Camp. And maybe I don't need to loan my clothes out unless I get really, really desperate. And that's it. Thanks.
Betsy Boyd. I think he liked her because she was playing hard to get.